Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. Please forgive me, I've been a little bit under the weather, but I wanted to do this show today because something important is going to happen tonight, and I think that we should all be watching eyes wide open. So a few things that have gone on today. You know, we have entered an era where there is no normal and there is no standard for political behavior, discourse, or action, or anything like that. But tonight, the networks are airing Trump in a format that they refused to do for Obama in 2014. Now, how I should or shouldn't feel about 2014, I wasn't there, and so I can't speak to what he was going to do, because he was also going to speak on immigration. And I think that he was going to talk to us about the importance of it in the crises and in the influx of refugees that we're having and going to be seeing, because global warming is a big factor. Not just that, but, unstable other governments, issues with, you know, foreign policies. We have some dictators who countries are trying to topple. But what Trump is going to be talking about tonight is going to be the southern border. And for many reasons, this wall can't and won't exist. All right. The first one being that the landscape itself does not allow for a full wall extending from California to Texas. The ability to put the wall there in all this diverse landscape does not exist. I mean, you're talking about running through desert area. You're talking about running through the Grand Canyon area. You're talking about rivers and valleys and, you know, land that has been shaped by evolution in over millions of years. And then you have Trump, who is committed to this wall because he promised his base. He's afraid of looking bad. Wow, that was quite the lightning strike. Sorry. I don't know if you heard that or not, but I did. So what you have here is his idea of negotiating is, instead of putting up concrete, he's willing to go with steel slats. Now, people have been saying, look, this is a medieval situation to try to deal with a modern problem. Immigration from the south, Mexico, and that has slowed down in the last few years. I think that that is due to NAFTA and the healthy trade that we have, you know, created. Plus, one of the things that has happened since people came here from Mexico is they've been sending back money. They've been paying for education for family members. They've been paying for homes. It's alleviated some of their poverty, and helped them a lot to achieve more than they would had they continued in the same poverty that they were seeing. So when we talk about this, we have to realize that Mexico has been doing better, and that a lot of these aren't actually from Mexican countries. They're from various countries. Unfortunately, Guatemala, Ecuador, places like that, they're still facing high amounts of poverty. They have population explosions. They have gangs and violence where it's drugs and abuse and, you know, criminality galore. And I feel bad for these people, because if you had seen the level of poverty that I have seen by being in Mexico, you would understand that we aren't talking about American level of poverty. We're talking about a level of poverty where the government is not in the position, and even if it is in the position, it doesn't always extend to those places. So you have a lot of poor people living in literally dirt floors, where there's wood, they'll use wood. However, a lot of places there's no longer enough wood. And wood really isn't a good building material down there for them, unfortunately, because the amount of rain that they get, wood would tend to rot very quickly. So in these poverty-stricken areas, they use a lot of concrete, and if they are too poor to afford concrete, what they use is a lot of aluminum siding. So you'll see buildings that are no more than four pieces of aluminum siding with, you know, a few on top, and that's what they call home. There's no real electricity. They'll hang a light bulb, but there's dirt floors, no bathroom, no kitchen, no stove, no refrigerator, no microwave, no anything. These people are living in the depths of poverty. No, there isn't sanitation. No, there isn't roads. No, there isn't a lot of resources that we've come to see. So when we think about poverty, we probably think about it in the concept of America. And here, while we do have high levels of poverty and probably places where there's wood floors and wooden houses that are shacks or shanties, as it were, you're talking about a large percentage of a population. Here we have a small percentage of population. There they have a large amount. Makes it hard to sustain yourself when there are no resources to draw from. But more than that is Trump is threatening to declare a state of emergency. Now, when and if he does declare a state of emergency, it gives him authoritarian powers, power over the internet, the radio, power to control various departments, power to control the military, power to control all sorts of things. And I'm not sure who enlightened him to this, because it's sort of been like Trump is the person that you want to really not enlighten him to all of the vast powers that the office of the president has. And I think that this has a lot to do, people surrounding him, learning about this and attempting to use it for mischievous behavior, you know? I think that because he is surrounded by a lot of racists, a lot of people who want to take this nation to places it should never go, that he's getting a lot of information, albeit bad information. Because here's the thing, he has to prove that there is an emergency. That's going to be hard to do when you're dealing with families, children, women coming across needing, seeking asylum. We're not dealing with an influx of terrorists. They did the numbers, and they're saying now that instead of the 4,000 that Trump has claimed and those in his administration have claimed, Sarah Sanders especially, there have only been six people of interest. Now, that's not an actual terrorist. It's that they were on a list. And there are various lists throughout America. Like, you can just come from a specific country which is known to create or harbor racists, terrorists, and that alone can flag you so that they then investigate you more. That doesn't mean that you are specifically a terrorist or that you will commit an act of terror. It just means that you come from a country known to be on the list of creating them. All right? So he's taking to TV tonight at 9 o'clock, and I hope that all of you out there who hear this will boycott listening to him. Now, post his speaking, Democrats are going to have a response, and then Bernie Sanders, who has committed to the fact that he is not a Democrat, he has said that he will hold his own response because he doesn't want to be united with the Democrats. So if you were ever in a situation, you were wondering if Bernie Sanders was a Democrat, I mean, he has made it clear that's not whose side he's on and who he wants to be partnered with tonight after Trump speaks. I think it's good that Democrats are doing a rebuttal because they're going to have to refute his lies. So that's happening tonight at 9. It's pretty much every network, every major network, which is shocking and surprising and as well as disappointing. Now, we all know that Trump has an ego about the size of, I don't know, the entire continent. However, I think one of the things that's really going to push him towards declaring a state of emergency is the fact that Paul Manafort, his lawyers, released some redacted information today. When they redacted it, they did so improperly, so that if you basically copied it to another thing, reversed the color, it literally showed everything that was redacted. So we found out today that Paul Manafort gave, it wasn't voter data, it was stats on voter, how do I say this? He gave them statistics on our voters, like the likelihood of a person to vote this way or that way. And then he gave that to Russians. All right. Now, Paul Manafort, as we know, was Trump's political manager for his candidacy. So when you talk about there was no collusion, when you say there's no collusion, this completely disproves it. And I think that this is going to drive Trump even further tonight, because he's going to have to try to distract from the fact that this evidence exists. It's been seen by so many people, and it's going to be picked up all over. That now we have the smoking gun. If Paul Manafort handed over data to Russian assets, knowing who they were, willfully helped Russians gain information on who to target, then you better believe that Mueller is going to go for collusion. And it's not going to be called collusion. It's conspiracy to commit. Basically, conspiracy to commit treason. So, because that not only implicates him, it implicates his son, it implicates his daughter, it implicates Jared Kushner, it implicates anybody who surrounded him. Because to say that you were unaware means that you wouldn't have had to have had a clue who Paul Manafort was. However, there's more information that shows that Paul Manafort was trying to set up meetings between Trump and spies. Once they prove that this information had been traded back and forth, it's going to be unlikely that Trump is going to escape future charges. So tonight he's going to, of course, I'm sure this afternoon he's seeing the news because he watches Twitter. I'm sure he's going to see it explode, and he's going to get livid about the fact that now people know what Manafort was doing, as well as Manafort's lawyers are going to be hysterical because they incorrectly redacted information, and the media was able to elicit from that more and more facts of what Mueller has. This just goes further to prove that Russia was helping Trump. Now, we also know that Russia had funneled money into the NRA. In fact, the $30 million that the NRA spent on Trump was funneled to the NRA by Russia. That's basically what you call money laundering. Another Russian lawyer, I want to get her name right. Hold on 1 second. Was indicted today. Now, she is the lawyer. We're not talking about Butina. Butina, we already know about her indictment. But we're talking about, I'm going to crucify this name, but I'm going to try it. Veselinskaya? She was indicted today. She's the Russian lawyer who was at the meeting, who had said that she was just there to talk about adoption. It has been uncovered that she was there to talk about Russia getting information on Hillary Clinton and helping Trump to win the the presidency. So that has also come out today. It's a bad day for Trump, and I think that this is going to push him further towards, you know, trying to distract and take away. And I think that you have to be, all of America, all of the world needs to be on their guard and listen to independent voices who are going to tell you what's going on. CNN was complicit in helping to make Trump. NBC and CBS did not really vet him. To vet somebody is really to get into all of their past, to dig into things that they could have done, that they did do. You know, Trump has been known to be a corrupt businessman for years. His corruption is nothing new, excuse me, to anyone who lives in New York. So now that the government is shut down, what's happening is we have a lot of good people who work for the government, who are in the government employ, who are not receiving their paychecks. And we're talking about all sorts of government offices. And it's hurting them. And Trump is talking about holding the government shut down indefinitely. I don't see how these offices can continue to function or how it's going to be helpful to anyone to continue this indefinitely. I think that hurting Americans is just garbage, no matter what part of the political spectrum they're on. Although I would say that, honestly, I think that Republicans can enjoy and own this more than anyone. I mean, along with the tariffs that have been pushing them to the brink and the farmers who voted for Trump who now can't sell their soybeans. That's another thing that we've seen this week, too. It was announced that Russia is going to be selling China soybeans and poultry. When Trump decided to put these tariffs on China, quoting that China was exploiting us and hurt American farmers, basically he handed over those departments to Russia. If you don't believe that Trump got his marching orders from Russia long ago, continues to get them, and that somebody in that office is in constant contact with Russia right now, then you don't know what's going on in this country. When Trump goes on TV tonight, if he declares a state of emergency, he is overstepping his powers. He has not proven a state of emergency. He will be fought for declaring a state of emergency, and I hope that my fellow Americans will be up in arms and furious about him declaring a state of emergency. The shutdown is unfair. It's cruelly hurting Americans. It's taking away from their paycheck. It's destroying their lives. Meanwhile, every turn that we make, it's Trump Russia. Somewhere in Russia, they're benefiting from this. And in fact, this last week, it was said that he was pulling off sanctions on some important businesses that Obama had sanctioned based upon everything that had happened during the 2016 election. So, for those naysayers, excuse me, out there who think that there is no connection, every day there is one more reason to see that there is a connection. Every day there is more information. If you follow the right people, if you watch what's going on, if you talk to the right investigators, look at all the facts that are tying together. It's astounding. And it's not just from one source, it's from many sources. And, you know, there are people out there who are searching for evidence to help Mueller, not just prosecutors, but independent people. And they have been handing over things that they see and pictures and facts. And it's amazing how well a collective can be made out of this. And I think that ultimately we're going to have a decision on what we want to do with Trump and how this is going to go down. But for right now, we are launched into the middle of a constitutional crisis with this man. It is he is every day how to manipulate the office of the president in toxic ways. It, you know, The House has already readied a bill and voted on it, sent it over to the Senate. And Mitch McConnell refuses to even allow it to be put on the floor so that it can get a vote. And that's because he knows as soon as it gets a vote, it's going to a vote, a majority, because even Republicans don't want this wall. That once it gets its majority vote in the Senate, it's going to be sent to Trump, who will veto it. That veto will then send it back to the House. The House will then take a vote. That vote will be a majority vote. It will override the veto and allow government to open again. So Mitch McConnell is blocking the access to the Senate floor so that he can protect the president. I don't know what they have on him, but it must be pretty dirty in order for Mitch McConnell to stand in the way of democracy and stand for Trump. Trump's numbers are not so great. It's 38% right now. So his numbers are not so great that Mitch could have a really definite reason and see this as this is the will of the people, this is what they want. This is something much more seedy and underhanded. And I think that in time we're going to find out a few of the characters that we're waiting on for things to pan out is Marco Rubio, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, Jim Jordan, Trey Gowdy, men like that who have stood alongside of Trump to unreasonable levels. And I think that I can't wait to see it. Sometimes, you know, it's hard because I'm an American who would like for things to be done, and I would sincerely like this to be done and over. But in the same token, I understand that true justice, good justice, moves slowly, not swiftly, because you don't want to make a mistake. And the fact is that Vice President Pence is more than likely implicated, especially seeing as how he worked with Paul Manafort. He hired Paul Manafort, I believe it was Flynn. But there's too many people who have already been indicted and pled guilty surrounding Pence and Trump to believe that Mike Pence was innocent of knowing what was going on around him. I do believe that in time we're going to find out that Mike Pence was complicit in all of these things happening, which is going to leave us in quite the conundrum, because if Mike Pence is indicted and is either removed from office or steps down, and then Trump is around the same time, that would leave Nancy Pelosi as the likely president. It would be one of the few times in the history of America where we've had a situation where we have a VP and the president in such dire straits and situations that they are replaced and we implement a speaker as the president. But this is what it was set up for, so that if we catch levels of corruption that are so intense and so rooted in our democracy that we can weed them out and we have resources on how to do it. I'm not going to watch Trump tonight. I'm not going to have anything to do with looking at the TV, because I believe that to pander to watching this man is to let him take more authority, to feel bigger. And I refuse to do that, and especially on this wall, because I know that he's hurt people, good people, for this. And he's continuing to hurt people. And I mean both Americans and refugees. You know, I think it's just disastrous that he would hold Americans' paycheck, hold their future, their family, their livelihood hostage over a wall. The wall can be debated in a separate package, but he should definitely let the government open. Would I say this if this was Obama? I would ask why we need a wall to begin with. It doesn't make sense. What is the wall going to do? We have an existing wall now. I mean, people live on the other side of the wall. They live there every day. They don't jump over it. They're not like, whee! And these people are specifically coming here for refugee status, to seek aid, to seek work, to be able to raise their families, to become Americans, to be safe, as safe as you can be in America with the NRA running around. But they want a better life, something where they don't have to, they don't have to suffer. They don't have to worry about gangs that are going to destroy their family, where they can have a home, where they can have decent paying jobs. Maybe they can help their family come up out of poverty and get education. But more than that is my fellow Americans. My fellow Americans don't deserve to go hungry. My fellow Americans don't deserve to lose out on a new house or getting a car or repairing their car or gas in their car, feeding and taking care of their children just so that Trump can stroke his own ego. It's absurd. We don't deserve this. So I just want people to take time out there to think, what would you do if this was your family? How would you feel if you were a Latino and that you just wanted to come to America and be free or enjoy a better life? We're not the greatest country on earth. There are many more nations that are absolutely wonderful. They're more peaceful. They're more sensible and better in the long run. But this country is a lot better than what they're facing at home. And one more point I wanted to before I'm done is Alexandria Ocasio. She is one of the new freshman class of the House. And, you know, people have been attacking her because she mistakes things. Everybody mistakes things. I'm misstating how to mistake things. So she was talking about 70% tax, but it is actually a tax based upon your tax bracket. So what she's saying is that everybody would pay a traditional, you know, rate of tax that we have now. And those who earn over $250 million a year, facing over that, let's say that you make $264 million, well, your $250 million a year would be taxed at a regular rate. Your 14 extra million would be taxed at 70%. Now, that's pretty reasonable. You've got $250 million already. It's taxed at a pretty low rate. It's, I believe it's 38% right now, 38 or 32. So, you know, you're not paying that terribly much. Plus, there are all sorts of tax loopholes. She's talking about this and then talking about if you make over that, you're paying 70%. So, basically, people are confusing this, and then she's trying to make her point clear. She missteps and uses words that she shouldn't. And it's not that she or anybody else shouldn't be fact-checked. They absolutely should. But what we're seeing rear its head here is the bargain basement level of sexism. If a woman does anything, if a woman speaks out, if women cause waves, if they don't conform, look traditional, blend into the woodwork, they get attacked. And she's noticing this, and she's absolutely punching back. And I don't mean literal punching. I mean that the girl is as sharp as a tack. I believe in time she's going to really be honed into how to speak well. But in the meantime, people are attacking her on her missteps. Well, she's 28 years old. She's a freshman class in going to Washington, D.C., dealing with things that are political. She hasn't obviously had a lot of speaking experience in the political arena. So I think that they should give her a break. That doesn't mean a pass. Nobody gets a pass. But Donald Trump can literally sit there and spew lies. And I mean, he literally is the worst liar that we've ever made notation for. And he is given a pass on the media every day. They don't call him out as soon as he does it. And as soon as she misspeaks a little, she is called out for it. Now, whether or not you agree with her being called out for it, the point is that, as she has said, there needs to be equality in this. That if a male misspeaks, if a male misrepresents, if he lies, they should be equally called out on that as she is called out on her misspeaking. I think that we have a lot of wonderful new people in the House, in the Senate, that we have sent to Washington, a new diversity, and I think we have something to look forward to, and I think we should take care of that. She is going to do us some good if we help usher her to a point where she is well-spoken, gets the job done, knows what she's talking about. I think that we got to give her some leeway and education, and it's going to be hard for her being so young. But as Americans, we should work with her, not against her. I don't care that she's a socialist. She was elected in an area that was very accepting of who she was, who wanted to see the change. You know, every area is different. Some are more midline Democrats. Some are more midline Republican. Some are more extreme Republican. Some are more extreme Democrat. Some are socialist. Whatever you have elected to represent your area, whatever you feel is correct to represent your area, that's who gets to speak for you. And I don't think that it's okay for Americans to attack her based upon that. My attacks on Bernie Sanders isn't about the fact that he's a socialist. It isn't about the fact that he wants to see some evolution in progress for this nation. My attacks are that during the 2016 election, he attacked Obama and he attacked Hillary on health care, on their plans. Attacks on Hillary based upon her sex were allowed to be given a pass, you know, things like that. So there, I have my own reasons. I don't get into the mud mix with other people. I don't want to be in it with other people. I don't like Bernie Sanders. I don't like who he is. I don't like what he's done. And people say, oh, well, she follows Bernie Sanders. Well, fine. She's allowed to look up to Bernie Sanders. I hope that she sees his flaws and his failings because there are many. And I hope that over time this girl becomes her own person and takes on who she wants to be, independent of what someone who may or may not be her mentor thinks and does. So that remains to be seen. But I am giving her a chance. I give everyone a chance at first, and then if you spoil it and ruin it, unless, you know, you're dedicatedly evil, then you're just not getting a chance. And Trump came out swinging dedicatedly evil, and I haven't given him a chance since then, and I have no plans to. But anyhow, that's going to pretty much wrap up the Pink Atheist. I'd like to thank you for listening. I hope that you pay attention to what's going on politically here in the scope for the next while, and if you have any feedback, please feel free to contact me on Facebook. My name is Rachel Johnson. I am your host of The Pink Atheist. I'm glad to join you from wherever you're listening in the world. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you're okay out there. Take care, everyone. Have a great day.